I'm starting. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Chodesh Kislev pre-Chanukah Shir. Rabbi Schachter emailed me to prepare the flyer. What's the title? I didn't really know the title. So we went with Nehru's Chanukah, Count Your Blessings. You will hear as I go through the Shir that it is very much shaped and guided by current events. So however the title fits in, it's okay. It's really Divrei Hisorus and Divrei Chizuk. In difficult times, which is what Chanukah is. It's 8 days of light in very difficult times. Welcome, everybody. Ma'oz Tzur Yeshua Si L'chan Na'at L'Shabeach, O mighty stronghold of my salvation, to praise you is a delight. Tikon Beis Tefilasi V'Sham Todan is a Be'ach. Restore my house of prayer, and there we will bring a Thanksgiving dinner, a Thanksgiving offering. This is a post from Facebook that somebody shared with me. I'm not on Facebook, but sometimes people share what they see. Quote, tonight I went to a wedding hall, but there was no wedding. Instead, there were 600 women of all ages coming together to remember and learn Torah in honor of Rabbi Yaakov Lipman and his 18-year-old son, Netanel Hashem Yukom Damam. They were murdered this past Friday, 11-13-50. Tonight, Sarah Tachia Lipman was supposed to wed her beloved, Ariel. But instead, she is at home, sitting on the floor, sitting shiva for her father and brother. How can we grasp? I will tell you. By not letting terror win. By getting up after falling down. So mech Hashem lechol hanofim. Hashem holds up all who have fallen. The night was full of emotional singing and dancing and tears. Towards the end, they played a wedding song. All the girls got up to dance, and the hall served its purpose. The groom's father told a story that Sarah Tachia had said at the Shiva. Sarah Tachia said, my father always gave his students candy. I asked him, Abba, why don't you give the secretary the receipt? The school will pay you back. My father said, when I buy candy for you children, do I ask Ima to pay me back money? My students are my children. The world is a very dark place. It is filled with people who want to, Rahmana Litzlan, make it darker, continued the post. But the writer wrote, it is up to you to shine your light. We are in the month of Kislev. Soon it will be Chanukah, the festival of lights. Take a minute, she wrote, and shine. Next week, Be'ezros Hashem, Sarah Tachia will marry her beloved. They have invited all of Klal Yisrael to rejoice with them. Am Yisrael Chai. So we're coming up to Chanukah. And Chanukah is an acronym for Chas Neiros V'Halacha K'Beis Hillel. There is a machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. It's 8 nights. Do we go from 1 to 8 up, or do we go from 8 to 1 down? So the Chazal ruled, the sages decreed, Chas Neiros, it's true, it's 8, V'Halacha K'Beis Hillel. We go from 1 to 8. Why? Because we go up in Kedusha, we do not go down. Various reasons are given by the sages for why we light 8 nights. So we're just going to go through a few of the reasons. The Jewish fighters rested on the 25th of Kislev, and therefore, as is well known, the first candle symbolizes rest from war and victory over foreign oppression. So that's the first night. The remaining 7 days, right, the remaining 7 nights commemorate the miracle of oil. So it's 8 because the first one symbolizes the military victory, and the next 7 symbolize the miracle of the oil. Second reason, these are all told over by Eliyahu Kitov in his book of our heritage, Sefer HaTodah. When the Jews found the salt pach shem, and they found one flask of oil that was pure, they divided it, they rationed it into 8 parts, and they figured they'll use a little bit, what? A little bit of oil on each night until they had enough time to produce new shem and zayisach. Miraculously, they only used a little bit of oil, but it was enough for the lamp to burn the prescribed time the entire night. Third reason, they used the entire contents. So there's different reasons, you understand? They seem to contradict each other, but these are the given reasons. They used the entire contents of the jar on the first night, so they'll light for one night. When they poured it all into the menorah, the jar, what? Yeah, miraculously had more. You know, it's like Lahavda when you have guests over on Sunday. Sometimes this happens to me. family crashes, Baruch Hashem, and there's only a little bit of chicken soup left from Shabbos. It's leftover Sunday. How many bowls of chicken soup can I get from this? And sometimes you get much more than you think. You ladle and you ladle, and it's still there. Fourth reason, one of the decrees which the Greeks attempted to enforce was a ban on bris milah. There should be, they wanted a body without restraint. Bris milah represents a body with restraint. The Yavanim said, do whatever you want. Be with whoever you want. Do whatever feels good. That's the antithesis of Yehadus. We want to do what feels good within the confines of course, halacha. They wanted to, they did improvise a ban on bris milah, when the Chashmonaim won, of course, they prevailed against the wicked enemy, and the rejoicing was not only in the military victory, not only in the miracle of oil, but also they were able to freely perform bris shel Avraham Avinu, which of course takes place on the eighth day of the child's life, and therefore the Yom Tov is for 8 days. I remember about 3.5 years ago, I attended, and I've told this story over a couple of times. My daughter was there, my family was there. It was a bris on Shabbos. And it was beautiful. It was a Sephardi bris, which I had never been at before. Sephardi family, Sephardi bris, and the singing. It was Shabbos, and I was crying. And the kids said, why are you crying? And I said, you don't know how special it is that we can freely come and celebrate and perform entering the child into bris shel Avraham Avinu. How many Jews have sacrificed for this? And it was one of the mitzvos that the Yevanim tried to uproot. And finally, the last reason is that the discovery of a pure and uncontaminated pach shemen was a miracle itself. Just finding it was a miracle itself. Those are the five reasons given by Kitov. I'm going to add one on. And that is a sixth reason I'm going to add on. And it should speak to all of us very strongly. And that is that they lit at all is a miracle. One thing that they found is a miracle, but that they lit it. Imagine what they walked into, Beis HaMikdash in ruin. The Yavanim brought a pig into the Beis HaMikdash. It was a terrible time. It was a time of a tremendous assimilation. The Misyavnim were a very large percentage of the population. Sometimes you feel like you want to give up. And I think it's something we can relate to in today's day and age. We are in very, very difficult times. What's the point? Chas v'shalom. The fact that they lit, even though they only had enough for one day, even though the Beis HaMikdash was in ruin, even though they didn't know what the future would be, they lit. And nevertheless, not nevertheless, and that itself is a tremendous triumph of the human spirit. And that's an ace that we don't give up. The Pasuk says in Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Baaloscha, and Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to Aaron and say to him, Baha'aloscha es haneros, when you light the lamps, el mul pene ha-menorah ye'iru shivas haneros. Towards the face of the menorah shall the seven lamps cast their light. Okay, so Rashi says, good morning, why was this passage dealing with the kindling of the menorah put next to the passage of the contribution of the tribal princes? The Nisiyim in the previous parasha all brought their korbanos. Okay? And right after we have all the korbanos, we have Aaron, the command to Aaron to light the menorah. So why were these two topics put together? Anybody, what does Rashi say? Why were these two topics put together? Yes, someone's talking? I have a hearing loss. If you're saying something, raise your hand. Yes?
I think I remember that Aaron was upset because he could not bring any gifts to Mishkan. And Hashem Amalo, this will be for the Lord. Your gift to light it is not only one time to bring a gift, but...
Very nice. Beautiful. That's exactly what Rashi says. Beautiful. So Rashi asks the question, why are these two topics next to each other? So I'm going to paraphrase. Like you said, Lefi shekishara'a Aaron Chanukas HaNasim. When Aaron from the tribe of Levi saw the Nasim bring all their gifts, Chal Shadato, it literally means his mind became weak. He felt bad. Shelo haya imahem b'chanukah. He wasn't with them. He didn't bring a contribution. Lo hu velo shifto. Not he and not his tribe. He was excluded. How does it feel to be excluded? Bad. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Chayacha, I swear by your life, Shacha gedola mishalahem. Don't feel bad. Your reward is much greater than theirs. Sha'ata madlik umeitiv esaneiros. Because you will kindle and prepare the lamps. So what are we talking about here? That's what Rashi says. So the Ramban, Nachmanides, explains for us. And the Ramban says we derive a remez from this parsha. We derive an allusion from this parsha. Al Chanukah shel Neros shehaisa bevayah sheni. Ah, the Ramban says, what was the nechama, what was the consolation to Aaron that he's going to light the menorah? Which menorah are we talking about? But I just tell you, Chanukah shel Neros bevayis sheni. The Chanukah of the candles during the Second Temple period, al yedei Aaron uvanav by the Kohanim, Ritzoni Lomer, Chashmonai, Kohen Gadol uvanav. Who are we talking about? The Chashmonaim from the tribe of Levi, the Kohanim and his sons. So Hashem wasn't saying, this is not your comfort, the menorah in the Mishkan, the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. The comfort is the lighting of the lamps by the Chashmonaim much, much later. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Ramban continues, Yesh Chanukah Achera Sheish Ba, there's a different Chanukah coming. Va'ani, and I, God, Osab Bali Yisrael, Al Yadei Banecha. Nisim Uteshua. I'm going to make through your sons, this is what the Ramban says, for Yisrael, Nisim Uteshua, miracles and salvation, V'chanukah shekruah al shman, the Chanukah will be called by their name. V'hi Chanukah's base Chashmonai. It is the Chanukah of the Chashmonaim. And therefore, the Torah placed this chapter, and now we understand how the lighting of the menorah was a nechama to Aaron. It's not only talking about the menorah that was in the Beis HaMikdash, it's talking about the menorah that was in the future. For all the reasons we just spoke about, that's the nechama. Furthermore, continues the Ramban, Hashem told Moshe to tell Aaron, don't be afraid. You're designated for something far greater than this. The karbanos are in effect only as long as the Beis HaMikdash stands. What did the Nesiim bring? Karbanos. But don't feel bad that you didn't bring a karban. The karbanos are temporary. In other words, the Beis HaMikdash should be destroyed. Halavai, it should be restored and they will be eternal. But our destiny is that the karbanos were temporary. Quote, the lamps of the menorah are forever. And these are the Chanukah, the lamps of the Chanukah of the Chashmonaim. Shehino Heges, says the Ramban, quote, Shehino Heges, af la'achar churban, begaluseinu. We always talk about the pillar of Avoda being no longer. So we replace karbanos with tefillah. But the Chanukah of the Chashmonaim, the Chanukah of the Nechama to Aaron HaKohen, the Chanukah of eternity, says the Ramban, he no heges af la'achar churban begaluseinu. It is no heges, it is a custom, it becomes a halacha, it's firmly entrenched, even after the destruction of Israel, the destruction of the temple, the destruction of the land, even with us in our exile. So Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky comments on this, and he says so powerfully, sometimes people perform what seems to be a monumental action, but in truth, he says, it's fleeting. You begin with a boom, quote, but it ends with a puff of dissipating smoke. And sometimes people perform what seems to be such minor acts, and they actually have long-lasting ramifications and eternal impact. And it's so true when you think of your own life. Sometimes people do something big, and it makes a lot of noise, and it's really nice, but sometimes it's just the small things that touch people in such a significant and in such a powerful way. The small actions have a tremendous koach to touch another person. It's a strong Mr. Haska for us to take home in our lives. Rabbi Kamenetsky says these are the greatest gifts, not the fleeting, but rather the everlasting ones. My father always gave his students candy. I asked him, Abba, give the secretary the receipt. The school will pay you back. My father answered, when I buy you kids candy, do I ask Ima for money to pay me back? My Talmidim are my children. Aaron's contribution, says Rabbi Kamenetsky, the true and lasting gift was the inspiration his children and grandchildren and, of course, all the generations received for eternity. Because he says Aaron's actions, listen to these words and think of the state of the world today. Aaron's actions predict a time when the Beis HaMikdash was rededicated by the Chashmonaim, quote, Torah and purity won over filth and impurity. Chanukah heralds the time when Torah and purity will, not maybe, will win over filth and impurity. We all need, I'm speaking to myself first, we need a tremendous, tremendous dose of chizuk. We are in very, very difficult and frightening times. Rabbi Kamenetsky says, what was the nechama to Aaron? The nechama was that for all of time, yet and around the world, around the globe, wherever they are, like Hanukkah, for 8 holy nights of the year, year in and year out, generation in and generation out, throughout the passage of time. With his great hand, he took out his treasured ones. Paro's army and his offspring sank down like a stone into the deep. It was the winter before the war ended. It was a cold and dreary time. The first snow of winter had just fallen. It's Kislev already, said Reza. She always knew the dates on the calendar, even without the calendar to aid her. Soon it will be Hanukkah. The children should have a menorah, she said. But how? Her bankmates replied. I'm going to say her barrack mates, not her bankmates. I could make one, said Reza. I could make one out of spoons. She had been an artist before the war. She was always good with her hands. She worked in the sewing room. Her job was mending the uniforms of the Nazi guards. If anyone could figure out how to make a menorah there in the depths of hell, it would be Reza. But where on earth were they going to get 9 spoons to fashion a menorah? Reza and her bunkmate decided to share 1 spoon between the two of them at mealtime. They would share a spoon. Now they had 1. Miriam overheard her plan. Hindel and I will share a spoon as well, she said. Now they had 2. That morning, one of the women was walking from the barrack. She was walking to work duty in the factory. There in the slush beneath her feet was the glittering metal of an old bent spoon. The woman now had 3. That evening, Hindel brought back a 4th, a silver teaspoon. It was in the pocket of a suit, she said. Hindel's job was to sort through the mounds of clothing that the guards had taken from the prisoners upon arrival. She could, of course, have been punished for taking the spoon, but she wanted to help. Now there were 4. Later that night, Miriam bent down and pushed 2 pieces of metal into Razel's hand, 2 rusty, cracked spoons. I found them in the garbage. She worked in the kitchen. She stole them at great risk to her own life. They had 6. A few days later, Liba, a woman who had just been sent to the barrack, brought in 2 more spoons. Now the women were afraid. How did Liba know about their secret menorah? Did the guards know? Would they take away their spoons? Or worse, would they take away their lives? Don't worry, said Liba. All the women in the camp know about the menorah. She was a housekeeper in the home of one of the guards. He offered her food that day, some extra food. Despite her hunger, she asked for spoons instead, and now they had 8. It was 2 days before Hanukkah. They were short 1 spoon. Quote, we thought about it all day while we worked. We whispered about it as we ate our watery soup and our stale bread. We wondered about it as we lay awake on the hard boards that were our beds. And before we fell asleep that night, we asked the Almighty to please send us 1 more spoon. And then on the last night before Hanukkah, a young woman, who none of the other women recognized, brought in a handmade rough metal spoon. It was my sister's, was all she said. Now they had 9. Early the next morning, Razel awoke the others and showed them the handiwork of her hands, all that Mesiras Nefesh, by all these brave women, a little menorah of 8 twisted spoons, the 9th to the shamish. The women crowded around, amazed and delighted. And that night, Hindel gathered whatever children there were to a space in front of her bunk. Miriam filled the spoon with fat stolen from the kitchen, as well as the shamish. Reza rolled the wicks from cotton thread she had stolen from the sewing room. And with a match taken from a factory worker, the woman lit the menorah and uttered the Hanukkah blessings. For 8 nights, they lit the menorah there at the gates of hell. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech ha'olam, Asher Kidishana, you have sanctified us with your mitzvos. You have commanded us. Lahadlik ner shachanaka. Blessed are you, Hashem, the King of the world, who has sanctified us with your mitzvos. And we recall as we light Chanukah menorah, she'asa nisim lavoseinu bayamim ahem. If he did miracles for our forefathers in that day, certainly he can do miracles for us. Bezman hazeh, and this time. And finally, no matter where we are, or what has befallen us, or how great is our pain, we will all say, Shachiyanu, v'kiyamanu, v'higiyanu, v'zman hazeh. Shachiyanu, you have kept me alive. V'kiyamanu, you have allowed me to reach. V'higiyanu, I am at this point, and this time. Despite our pain, our tears, I wrote in my notes, our total inability to understand his very, very mysterious and hidden ways, we will celebrate the eternal lights of Chanukah, and we will bless him for all that we have. Do not feel weak, Aaron HaKohen. Do not feel pained over a fleeting karban that you are not zocha to bring. For long after the smoke of those karbanos has disappeared into the mists of history, your children, their children, and their children's children will be lighting Chanukah lamps, commemorating the rededication of the Beis HaMikdash by your brave, courageous, Mi Kamocha Ba'elim Hashem Makabisans. And that gift, I wrote, it is the gift, ready, of a menorah and a mesorah passed on for all generations, is far greater than a fleeting moment in time. That's the nechama the Almighty offered to Aaron HaKohen, and he was pained. And it seems dark, and the exile seems endless, and I wrote in my notes, underlined, and I mean endless. When we feel weak, we are lacking. This morning my husband said to me, don't be nervous about the shir. I said, I'm not nervous about the shir. I'm nervous. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Chayacha shalcha gedola mishalahem. Your reward is eternal, and that cannot be taken away from the Jew. She'ata madlik u'meti v'seneros. You prepare and light the lamps. That is a tremendous fate. It is a bright future, because our candle is eternal. So Chanukah, I felt tied into the title a little. Chanukah provides us with a perfect opportunity. Stop. Take stock, I wrote. Count all of our blessings. I wrote the little and the big. Because truly, when it comes to blessings, can anything be considered little? Rosh Yamini Niseisa V'Oyev Shmo Machisa. You raise the head of the one from Binyamin, Mordechai HaYehudi, by the enemy's name, Haman HaRashi, you blotted out. Rov Banav, V'Kinyanav, Al HaEitz, Talisa, his numerous sons, and his household, you hanged upon the gallows from the tree. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehi Abedvarach. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal asks a question. Where's the logic, he says, in celebrating Chanukah? Listen to his words. They're today. Where is the logic in celebrating Chanukah during thousands of years of exile, martyrdom, ghettos, pogroms, and suffering? Where's the logic in celebrating in a ghetto? In celebrating under oppression? In celebrating when we're burying Kedoshim week after week? Where's the logic? Could you celebrate, he says, a holiday of political freedom when the condition of the Jew is the very opposite of freedom and independence? He writes, how small does the Maccabee victory seem when compared to the cruel political downfalls we have suffered, and I'm going to say continue to suffer, since the destruction of Bayis Sheni. But the Gemara says, Rosh Hashanah 18b, Chanukah has not been annulled because there was a public demonstration of God's miracle. The fact that we still celebrate Chanukah today is a sign, says Rav Salavechik. The Yom Tov is based on everlasting value, very similar to the Rashi, as explained by the Ramban and brought to us by Mordechai Kamenetsky. The Yom Tov of Chanukah is one of everlasting value, says the Rav, which no political destruction can erase. Quote, Chanukah, says Rav Salavechik, quote, has within it the secret of the eternity of our nation. Chanukah equals the secret of the eternity of our nation. It's true, he says, the Chanukah of political freedom and national independence from the Greeks was annulled long ago. However, he says, the greatness of Chanukah consists not so much in the importance of the miracles of Bayamim Ahem in the days of yore over 2,000 years ago, but more important, the miracle of Chanukah is Bizman Hazeh, in our times, in the meanings of the miracle in the here and now, quote, which no physical destruction can annul or diminish. They will physically rise to destroy us over and over and over, but they cannot diminish, they cannot destroy our spiritual victory. They cannot destroy the fact that if we find a Pach Shemen, and it seems against all logic to light it, what on earth is the point? The place is in ruin. There's a shechted pig. Assimilation is rampant. What's the point? They can't destroy our spiritual longings, never mind the physical victory. We celebrate the eternal, the spiritual, the longing of the Jew to light the lamps. Yevanim nikbetu alai azai bimei chashmonaim. The Greeks gathered against me in the days of the chashmonaim. Ufartu chomas migdalai v'timu kol hashmanim. They broke down the walls of my towers. They defiled all my oils. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech ha'olam, Mashir kiddushan b'mitzvos v'tzivot l'hadlik ner, the light of Chanukah. That's the goddess of the light of Chanukah. What does it represent? So Rav Shimshon Pinkus notes, quote, Chanukah candles publicize a miracle. And publicizing a miracle, he says, is basic to our emuna. Basic to your emuna is to publicize a miracle. If a miracle happens to you, go tell people. Spread awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. Let people know of the Hashgacha Pratis you just witnessed. Because it demonstrates our belief in God and our closeness to Him. The Ramban, Nachmanides, writes, the purpose of all mitzvos is to strengthen our belief in the Almighty. And he says that's the purpose of all of creation. To strengthen our emunah, to strengthen our belief. Then our Chanukah brings us closer to Hashem by publicizing Pirsumei Nisa, the miracle. So I'm sure you all saw this. I hope you all saw this. It's the invitation, the new invitation, the new wedding invitation of Sara Techia and Ariel. And it says on top, Hisna Ari me afer kumi. The youth shall get up from the dust. Get up from your place of Shiva. Take off your torn shirt and put on the wedding gown. Livshi bigdei sifar tech ami. Wear the clothing of splendor of my people. Mitoch ha'eva ha'mishpachti. From the family mourning, shahafach la'eva la'umi, that turned into national mourning, anu kamim, we will get up. There's a pig in the heichal, we will light the menorah. In the camps, we will find 9 spoons. Don't be sad that you didn't bring a korban. You're going to light menorah for eternity. Mitoch ha'eva ha'mishpachti, shahafach le'eva le'umi, anu kamim. Not only are we going to get up, but anu kamim lirkod. We're going to dance. V'lismach. We will rejoice. b'simchas hakilolo shel, in the complete simcha of Ariel, emsara techia, shetit kayem be'ezrat Hashem. It will take place be'ezrat Hashem, b'yom hei yud dalet b'kislev, the 14th of Kislev, which is November 26th, b'binyanei ha'uma, in binyanei ha'uma in Yerushalayim, kulam muzmanim. You are all invited. My husband just told me, a friend of his, someone we know who lives around the corner from us, he's actually going to Eretz Yisrael, and he told my husband he's going to the wedding. The lighting of the Hanukkah candles, halavai, we should all be zocha to go. I said to my son last night, one of my 9.5-year-olds, I said, hopefully we're going to Brooklyn for Shabbos if it's okay with Bobby. He said, he's not even 10. He said, hopefully we'll be in Yerushalayim for Shabbos with Mashiach. I said, there's no childhood innocence. Well, Maya's for sure not. I said, there's no childhood innocence when you're a Jew. The lighting, however, we're coming up to a hopeful time. The Hanukkah candles brings light. That's Pirsumei Nisa. To us and all those who see the flickering flames, go publicize the Nes. Go share. Kamim lirkod v'lismoach. Get up. Get up to dance and rejoice. Let everybody else see. The Neros Hanukkah take us from this terrible darkness and move us into the light. One of my oft-quoted Gemaras during this perilous time in which we find ourselves, not in classes, I don't when I'm talking to people, Psachim 58. It happened one time that Rav Yosef, the son of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, became ill. And he slipped into a comatose state, and his neshama ascended to the base in Shamala. He regained consciousness. He came back. So his father asked him, so what did you see in the next world? Tell me, you took a vacation. What did you see when you went to Banff? Lahavdil? So what did you see in the Olam Amas? So Rabbi Yosef said, quote, this is the part I'm always quoting, Olam hafuch ra'isi. Remember those words. You know why I remember those words? That's where we live. Psachim 58, Yosef said to his father, Olam hafuch ra'isi. It's an upside down world. The Gemara continues, the uppermost in this world, said Rav Yosef, the uppermost down here, Yemach Shmam v'zichra, are below in the world to come, halavai, and the lowly in this world, he said, are above in the world to come. So his father said to my son, you have seen a clear world. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi then said to him, what are they saying up there? So Rabbi Yosef replied, quote, Ashrei mi shebalakan v'talmudo b'yado. Rabbi Yosef said, you know what they're saying up there, father? Fortunate is he who comes to this world with his Torah learning in his hand. Ashrei mi shebalakan v'talmudo b'yado. An upside down world. The exalted down here. Yemach Shmam v'zichram. The exalted here are below, down there, up there, and those who are below, down here, are exalted up there. Keros Komas Birosh Bikesh Agagi Ben Hamdasa. The Agagi Haman, son of Hamdasa, plotted to cut down the lofty, towering cypress Mordechai. Don't worry, it became a trap and a snare. His own tree was a trap and a snare. The gavaso and his gaiva was broken down. The two Jewish victims who were stabbed to death at a prayer, the two Jewish victims who were stabbed to death at Tfilat Mincha in the Panorama Building in southern Tel Aviv on Thursday, an attack which left a third Jew moderately wounded, have been named as Aaron Yisayev, 32 years old, from Cholan, and Aviram Reuven, 51 years old, from Ramlah. Aaron Yisayev, the 32-year-old, previously returned to Judaism and became observant. He was a Chozer B'Tshuva. He moved from Tel Aviv to Cholan. He was a member of the local Haredi community. Quote, he was a good-hearted man, said a friend. A true righteous person. He went to Daven Mincha. He was murdered in cold blood by the evil and cruel terrorist. He leaves behind a wife and 5 children, the youngest of whom is 4 months old. They study at religious educational institutions in Cholon. Olam hafuch ra'isi. I see a backwards world. I see an upside down world. I am in a dark, difficult, searingly painful world. But fortunate, said Rav Yosef, is he who arrives to the next world with the Torah in his hand, his learning, his ma'isim tovim, his tefillah. For those who are reviled down here are respected and honored up there. Rav Shimshon Pinkus writes, the darkness of this world is so deep, he says, it conceals even the most glaring truth. You can't see. Maybe I should say they can't see. I can see. What is darkness? So we have to define what it means when something's dark, okay? So he provides a fascinating interpretation. And, you know, I don't even like to say the word in my house because we've been through it, but I don't like to say the word blackout, but I'm not in my house, but it shouldn't happen here either. What does it mean when something is so dark? The kids don't like it. I don't like it. I'm worried about the food in the fridge and the freezer. Then I'm really nervous. So what is blackout? What does it mean dark? So Pinchas says, let's say a man enters the base medrash at night and he's looking for a certain gemara. The lights are off. No moonlight. No candle. It's a blackout. It's dark. So he starts to feel along the walls and he's looking for the certain masechta. But he doesn't know where it is. Of course he doesn't know where it is. So Rav Shimshon Pinkus writes, quote, would it be correct to say, when it became dark that evening, the books just flew out the window, and now there's nothing there? Is that what dark means? Surely not, says Rav Pinkus. That makes no sense. The books are all there. The Sfarim are exactly where they're supposed to be against the wall. But because it's dark, he doesn't see. Dark doesn't mean something's not there. It means you can't see MS. Even when the MS, the truth is there. During the day, during the light, I can see. During dark, I can't see, but it's there. So Rav Shimshon Pinkus says, this teaches us something astonishing, something fundamental. The difference between light and dark is not whether something exists or does not exist. What's there in the light is there in the dark. The difference has to do with the person. When it's dark, I can't see what's really there, even though it's right in front of my very own eyes. I could be standing in front of the Gemara. Why does it make us so nervous when there's a Chas Shama blackout? It's not that it's not there. I can't see. This world, so then Rav Shimshon Pinkus takes us to Olam Haza and Olam Haba, and of course it relates to our Gemara that we have been looking at. This world, Olam Hazeh, says Rav Pinkus, is dark. Olam Hazeh equals, says Rav Pinkus, dark. Olam Haba, the Olam HaMS, because in the light you can see the MS, that world is light. So Rav Pinkus says, quote, Olam Haba is here right now, spread out in front of us. Spoke last week about Shabbos in a different venue. Shabbos is bringing Me'ein Olam Haba. It's bringing the truth to this world. You can see on Shabbos, even though you can't see during the week. The whole difference, says Rav Pinkus, between this world and the next world is that Olam Haba is the ability to see the truth. Olam Hazeh is the darkness conceals the MS. Quote, Olam Haba, the next world, is nothing more than a revelation of Hashem's oneness. I'm going to repeat that sentence. It's a quote from Rav Pinkus, not my own words. Olam Haba is nothing more than a revelation of Hashem's oneness. So in other words, we're in such a dark world. The most glaring truths, it should be so basic. It should be so apparent to all. It's concealed. Which brings us to Chanukah, because for 8 special days when we light the Chanukah lamps, we are meant to take ourselves from a darkness and spread that light, Pirsumei Nisa, where we can't see, where we can't find the safer on the shelf, where nobody, for crying out loud, nobody sees the MS in the Olam Hafuch Ra'isi. Chanukah is the antidote. Chanukah is the light. Chanukah is the Olam Haba, the revelation, even while you are in Olam Hazeh. Ki archa lanu ha-Yeshua, the Ein Ketz, the Meher. I want to cry. You don't want to cry? Ki archa lanu ha-Yeshua, the salvation, the deliverance, the geula is taking so long. Ve'ein keitz li'yemei hara'ah. How could it be that there is no end to the evil days? Hashem, how could it be? During the emotional final farewell at Ben Gurion Airport, where friends and family of Ezra Schwartz, Hashem Yukom Damo, gathered to send the slain teen back to his final resting place, a letter was read by Ezra's uncle, a letter written by his father, Ari. Quote, "I cannot help but be happy for Ezra," he wrote. "We know he is okay right now. That gives us peace. We have no regrets. I am happy for him because of all the places he went to and all the people he was able to touch. Some people live long lives but have unfortunate circumstances, and that makes their lives hard. Ezra had a wonderful life, and he died a happy person, and that is more important than anything else." Bahadlik ner shel Chanukah, with this word, ner, in the first of the Chanukah brachos, we usher in the Yom Tov. We ask Hashem to allow our eyes and our lives to be illuminated with the light of Olam HaEmes, even while we walk in Olam Haba. So I want to look now at the first bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, not the first bracha, the way we introduce most of our brachos, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam. Baruch Atah. Blessed are you. You, Hashem. I have an intimate relationship, like you. I'm talking to him, like I'm talking to you. Atah. Not he, you. You're in control of all. Rav Mordechai Gifter, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, notes, Atah, you, is the most important word in the bracha. Of all the words, he asks his Talmidim, what do you think is the most important bracha? Melach, he's king. Shahakol nihiyah bidvaro, he does everything. No, said Rav Gifter. The most important word is you, Atah. Why? It demonstrates, he says, our personal relationship with Hashem. You, Hashem, you must hear me. I'm talking to you. You don't hear me? You're right here. You're next to me. I'm your devoted daughter. I'm your son. I'm your servant of your child. Certainly you, Atah, you are blessed. You will hear me when I cry. Because Hashem, says my brother, he tells me, Micha, Hashem can do whatever he wants, says my brother, for whomever you want. Tov Hashem lakol, you Hashem are good to all. Rachamav al komasav, surely you will have rachamim on all of your work. Which brings us to the next word, Baruch Atah, that's you. Hashem is the next word. Hashem denotes midas harachamim, mercy, infinite compassion, understanding, his kindness, pity. He will take pity on his crying children. I want to know if the cup of tears is not yet full. I just want to know. How many Olympic-sized swimming pools are already filled from our tears? I just want to know. Hashem, we appeal to Midas HaRachamim. Kel Rachum V'chanan. You are merciful. You are compassionate. Chanun v'rachum Hashem. Erech apayim. Ugdol chasad. Surely he will see. 49-year-old Yaakov Don, Hashem Yukom Damo, was a married father of four. He was born to parents who survived the Holocaust. Parents who survived the inferno to rebuild a new life and lose their son. Because b'chol dor v'ador amdim aleinu l'chaloseinu. Surely mercy, Hashem, Baruch Atah Hashem. You will see that Yaakov Dan was an educator, a social educational coordinator at the Derech Avot High School in Efrat. He always had a big smile and a kind word for all his Talmidim and everyone around him. Alon Shvut released a statement. Yaakov was a man of education in all of his 248 organs. He loved education more than anything. He loved his Talmidim, a man of education and smiles. And he was murdered in a shooting in the Etzion block, Thursday, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, November 19, 2015. Where was he going? To learn with his two sons, who learn in Yeshiva Male Adumim. He went every single Thursday to learn with his two sons. That's where he was going. I just read it this morning. He was tired. He was busy. So his wife said to him last week, maybe Yaakov, don't go. He insisted on going. He said the learning with his sons was the highlight of his week. The Levaya accompanying him to his final resting place in Eretz HaKodesh took place on Erev Shabbat, November 20th, 2015. Hashem, Baruch Atah Hashem, arouse your rachamim and save us. Cries out David HaMelech, Hine lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. I'm not saying that, David HaMelech said it. Behold the guardian of Israel, he does not sleep. Behold the guardian of Israel does not slumber. From the last remaining flask, a miracle was wrought for the Jews. B'nei Bina, Yemei Shmona, Kavu Shir Urinanim. Therefore, the men of wisdom, B'nei Bina, halavai, we should all be B'nei Bina. The sages of the day ordained these 8 days for song and praise. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu. If Hashem represents Midas HaRachamim, then Elokeinu, Elokeinu, Elokeinu represents Din, Din, Din. That's justice, justice, justice. I wrote in my notes, what can we say of Midas HaDin? Yaakov Avinu, so I'll tell you what Yaakov Avinu said. Yaakov Avinu was sending his sons down once again to Mitzrayim because they were out of food, because there was a famine. And Yaakov Avinu said, may Kel Shakai, Shin, then Dalad, then Yud, grant you mercy before the man. Why does he use this name of Hashem, Shakai, Shin, then Dalad, then Yud, which represents Dai, Dayenu, means enough. So Rashi says, Yaakov said, Hashem, who said enough to the world, should say enough to my tsaros, enough to the tsaros. Yaakov Avinu said to his sons, I have not had tranquility since my youth. I had the trouble with Esav, the trouble with Lavan, the trouble with Dina, coming up to this week's parasha, the trouble with Yosef, the trouble with Shimon. Elokeinu. It has been cleared for release that the second victim in today's Gush Etzion terror attack is 18-year-old Ezra Schwartz, Hashem Yukom Damo of Sharon, Massachusetts. His family was notified of the horrific news a short while after the attack. Ezra was a student at Yeshivat Ashreinu in Beit Shemesh. At the time of the attack, a group of boys from the yeshiva were traveling to deliver food to the soldiers patrolling the area. We fervently, who prays for Din? Nobody here. We hope and pray. We beseech and cry. Mercy. We say Hashem first in the bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem, then Elokeinu. It's true, it's one of his midot. But we hope and pray that mercy will tear up, kra ra gzeira, tear up the decree of Elokeinu, of justice, as he sees Asher Misha Bolakan Vitamudo Biyado. He sees our efforts. We're here because we're making efforts in Torah. We're part of this community. We're making efforts in the Milas Chasadim. And we're all making efforts in our tefillah. A lot of Tehillim, says Rav Shimshon Pinkas, can only be good. Melech, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech. There is one true king who rules over all, who understands all, who controls all. And that is Melech Malchei Hamlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvos HaVitzivanu Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. Ner. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech. We did those. HaOlam, Melech HaOlam, really goes together, who sanctified with his mitzvos, us with his mitzvos, to light the ner, the Chanukah lamp. What's the significance of the word ner, candle? Rav Pinchas says ner means Hashem is master over all. He created and he controls the whole world. That's the meaning of the name. Ready? With me? I really need a blackboard. I don't have a blackboard, so just bear with me. Hashem, okay. Yod ke vav ke. Then the next word is Aleph, then Dalet, then Nun, then Yod. I can't say, okay? Hashem, and then the next name of Hashem. Aleph, then Dalet, then Nun, then Yod. So Pinchas says, what does this mean? It means Hashem is master. That's what it means. Hashem, Aleph, then Dal, then Nun, then Yod means Hashem is master and in control of the whole world. Then we come to another name of Hashem. This one's easier for me to say. That's Hashem Elokim. Okay, the first one was Hashem, Aleph, then Dal, then Nun, then Yod. Hashem is master and in control over all. Then we come to Hashem Elokim. Hashem Elokim means something else. Hashem Elokim means He sustains all. The first one is He created. You know, there are some people who say, yeah, Genesis happened. Open up the Bible, chapters 1 and 2, it happened. Now He's done. God forbid. Yehuda says, Hashem Elokim. It's true He created all, but He also sustains all. He recreates all. He upholds all at every moment in time. Pinchas says, without Hashem's life-giving force, the world would instantly revert to nothingness. Hashem sustains all. That's Hashem Elokim. And then finally, we have established that He created all. Not only does He create all, but He continues to sustain all. And finally, says Rav Pinchas, the next concept he says is very, very deep, and that is Ein Od Milvado. There is actually, says Rav Pinchas, nothing besides for Him. That's the meaning of Hashem Ekeya. Aleph, then Hey, then Yud, then Hey Ekeya. Hashem, I will be. In other words, it's a future name. In the future, you will understand that Ein Ol Mevado, there's nothing besides for Him. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kedushan B'mitzvosu V'tivar Lik Ner Shal Chanukah. What does Ner have to do with these six divine names that I just went through with you? Hashem, Aleph, then Dalet, then Nun, then Yod. Hashem created all. Then we come to Hashem Elokim. Hashem sustains and upholds all. Then we come to Hashem Ekeya. In the future, we will understand Ein Od Milvado. What does it have to do with Ner? If you add up the gematria of those six divine names, which represent Hashem controls, sustains, in the future we will understand it all, they equal 250. 250, says Rav Pinchas, is the gematria of the word ner. When you light the candles, quote, the lights go on. When you light the candles, we recognize Hashem is the master over all and created it. He sustains all. Ein od milvado, there is nothing besides for Him. That's near. This evening, instead of wearing the bridal dress, I will sit on the floor with a torn shirt, said Sarah Tachia Lipman. She said to the Yediot Achronot paper on Tuesday, November 17, 2015, the day she was supposed to get married. Instead, that day turned into one of great disaster and mourning as she sat Shiva for her father, Yaakov, and brother, Netanel, Hashem Yukom Damam. But very soon, she said, we will marry in a large and very happy wedding. We will go on. We will be happy as my father and Netanel always were. We will not be crushed. Chasof Zroa Kodshecha V'Karev Keitz HaYeshua. O bear your holy arm and hasten the time of salvation. Nikom nikmas avadecha me'uma harasha. Take nikama for all of your fallen, Hashem, from the wicked nation. Ki archa lanu ha'yeshua. Because the end is just taking so, so long. Ve'ein keitz li'yemei hara'ah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in our upside down world, we see no end to the madness, no end to the pain, no end to the tears. There is just no understanding down here in this Olam Hafuch. Ki'arch alanu ha'yeshua, ve'ein keitz li'mei hara'ah, d'chei admon, b'tzel tzamon, Hakeim lanu ra'im shiva. O thrust the red one, Esav, and all of our enemies into the shadows of death, and set up for us the seven shepherds who will take us home to a rebuilt, restored, glorious Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. May the eternal and holy flickering Hanukkah candles please Hashem bring joy, comfort, and light to our oppressed, hounded, pained, but never defeated, hopeful people. May the redemption and salvation be immediate and in our days. May my son's bracha, I will not be in Brooklyn for Shabbos. We should all be zocha to be in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, with Bias Goel Tzedek. Amen, v'amen, b'mheira b'yameinu.